The book of Revelations 2, 1 through 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you have the deeds. And so let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Let us pay attention to the word first, and then look at what the first love is. The word first is something initial, walking before others in a line of similar objects, coming first or existing before others, the best, not having an equal, having an important purpose, the most existing, the main one, Alpha, the first one, the beginning. The first is the Lord Himself. He has concealed Himself in this word first. The first love entails that your fellowship with God be placed first and not your service to God. And if fellowship with God is a priority, it stands before our service to God. The scriptures say, if you love me, keep my commandments, and we can keep his commandments, we can honor him in his commandments. And this is only possible when our fellowship with God is the priority, or when in our thoughts we are continually seeking to know God. This is very important, because if our priorities are not right and service to God is a priority and fellowship is secondary, then this will be the genetics of Cain. But if we place fellowship with God as a priority and service as secondary, then we will belong to the genetic line of Seth, who came from Adam. I wanted to quickly look at these two genetical lines, the genetical line of Cain and the genetical line of Seth. See what is mutual between them and what is different. First, the genetic line of Cain and the genetic line of Seth is, of course, they both have the same names. If you look at their line, they have Methuselah, they have Lamech, and they have other names, Enoch as well. In the line of Cain, they are pronounced slightly different. And in the genealogy of Seth, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Seth, one who calls upon himself immortality, in the line of Cain, then one who calls forth death. The genealogies themselves, if you look at their line, if you look at the names that are within it, the people, the individuals, there are the same names in both. And the devil, he has no originals. He takes what is already an original and copies it and perverts it. And we had a sister that used to attend our church. There, her children went to a charismatic, so-called charismatic church. And she says, well, we see no difference from this church and that church, but there's a big difference. And the sister, unfortunately, passed away a few months later. She went in the wrong direction. And she did not see that difference between the two lines, between the two genealogies. Let's see the biggest differences between the two. every name that is in the genealogy, it identifies a principle, and Satan, from the line of Cain, had taken the principles. He's taken them out. And so everything in that line is you serve God, but you will not inherit eternal life. When Cain had left and went away from the face of God, he went to the land of Nod, and he had a son, and he built a city and named it after his son, Enoch. Enoch's line begins with the name Enoch. Enoch is one dedicated to service. He begins his service with not fellowship, but with a religious service. When we're talking about Seth, Seth had a son, and his first son was Enosh. And when Enosh was born, that's when it says that's when people began to call upon the name of God. The genealogy of Jesus Christ has this principle that does not exist in the genealogy of Cain. Enosh is one who calls upon God, and to call upon God, it is necessary to possess the state of a student, not an inspector, but one who comes to the church to learn. In the genealogy of Cain, that does not exist. All the other names are there, but Enosh is not there. The scriptures say that at the time of the birth of Enosh, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the scriptures, it says, how can you believe in the one whom you have not seen? And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can you preach if you're not sent by God? In other words, in the name of Seth, during the time when people began to call upon God, Seth and his genealogy showed that they had acknowledged the people whom God has sent to them. And they believed their word, and because they put these things into their heart, the words that were spoken, they began to call upon God. Cain, on the other hand, never acknowledged God's people. He acknowledged his own intellect, and in his first son, he showed himself in service being the priority rather than fellowship. And so when Jesus met with people, he immediately determined which line they came from. As in the time of Seth, as we know that people called upon the name of God, and how can you call upon the name of God if you don't listen to the preacher? And people, when Jesus would preach, they stumbled, and they would leave Jesus, and the disciples said, all these people left you, and he said, these are not trees that my Father has planted. And he would identify his own by the name Seth. They're able to listen to the preacher. They don't come to church as controllers or as teachers, because that's the line of Cain. We know how the genealogy ends for Cain. It was destroyed in the flood. God condemned the world through Noah, and the name Noah means one who brings peace and calms the heart of God. In Cain's situation, the last person was Naamah, which was a woman whose name means one who receives worldly satisfaction. And that, of course, came to an end. Noah will condemn this genealogy of Cain. All begins with the first name. Our priority, how the Lord determines which line we belong to, he looks at the name that we belong to. What name is our genealogy? Is in our genealogy, that's the name Enosh. This is the time when people began to listen to God and call upon God. When we come to the temple of God, the scriptures say, prepare yourself to listen to the word and not to bring sacrifices, for they do not know that they do evil when they begin to participate in service, but not understanding that fellowship is to be the priority. It's to be first. It's to continually seek to know him. It's to come to church so that you can hear what the Lord will tell me, and not to just satisfy my desires or use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God does give. We come to hear what the Lord will reveal or to open to us, and that's how we determine which genealogy we belong to. The scriptures say, I have this against you, that you left your first love. We need to demonstrate the fact that we have Enosh, we have the ability to call upon God and to honor Him. Right now we will sing a psalm, and in this service, this form of service, we will demonstrate that, Lord, we are a part of your genealogy, that we are a part of this service, not because we want to earn our salvation, or to receive justification, but to confirm that truth and to honor that truth, which has already found its place in our heart. We honor God. The word honor, we humble ourselves and we fulfill the truth which we have received by listening to the preached word. And we then will have Enosh within our line, or we will partake to that. Let us stand up and serve Him. Allow me to repeat after our Pastor Arkady that every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and offerings, either in the Temple of Solomon or in the Tabernacle of Moses, they were required to stretch out their hands before God and proclaim a great proclamation, which they continued to do and were faithful to for thousands of years. We're the same Israel. We're connected to the same roots. We're nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hands over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be open, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated.